races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back and about coming up on 20 into hour three. And Chris Griffin's waiting in the wings. And before I get to Chris, I do want to slip in an update from yesterday's visit with Maggie Moss. And people just are so appreciative of Maggie and her vigilance when it comes to the off-the-track thoroughbreds, the ones particularly that end up in harm's way. And the follow-up, which was a little murky, and I'm sure you could tell when she mentioned it, that they knew that the deputy, we'll talk about the deputy first, the mayor's, we really don't have as much news about, but Maggie got the details, and the person who got the deputy out of harm's way wants to remain anonymous for now. Anyway, I'm sure at some point it might come out, when they find a home, and or maybe they'll privately home the deputy. But he is safe, and Maggie specifically wanted it communicated that he's in terrific hands. And as she said, he was not in bad shape at all, despite the challenge of the circumstance. I'll get some more details from her regarding the mayor's that also came up at the same time when this came to light. But the deputy himself is safe, and even though there was uncertainty as to who had rescued him. So not to worry, at least on that front. Turn our attention to Sam Houston Race Park, SHRP. And every time I open up a trade journal, it says Sam Houston is hiking purses. Chris Griffin, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah. Have purse, will give away. It's been good. That's business is good. Obviously, it's been a very strong season, big response, and SHRP doing the right thing, rewarding the horsemen and get these purses boosted and get some nice racing programs to close out the meet as we're starting to wind down a little bit. But yeah, Texas Champions Day coming up this Saturday and some really nice racing up ahead.
Well, and this is the second purse increase. The first 5 weeks of the meet saw a 40% increase. Of course, last year at the end you ended up with a hiccup, but at the point in which that was measured, was still year over year. So it's been from every standpoint, I think, quality of racing and the competitiveness and interest level and the viability of the betting product, as well, of course, as the aggressive pricing standpoint. I mean, it's all worked, and looking to finish with a nice flourish here.
Yeah, there's no question. And being able to run on the turf during the winter in this region is a very strong factor in our favor as well. And we'll hope to get on turf today. As I say it, of course, it's not a Wednesday with Steve Bick if it's not raining or potentially raining here at Houston, Texas. But
unbelievable.
But we'll see. It looks like the weather should clear out for a nice weekend, and Sam Houston deserves it. They deserve a little break in the weather and not these random rainstorms that kind of pop in. And hopefully, we get through this weekend and have some real strong racing. We got a real good program on hand and real nice car on Saturday. 7 stakes races, $100,000 each. Celebrating the Texas spreads and many, many, many familiar names through the Texas spread ranks. So we're looking forward to that and some nice racing leading up to it. And we'll see if we can get some winners and make some money and do things well this week.
Nice. Give us a. We didn't get a chance to talk last week, and we had a crazy full dance card. So catch up on the last essentially eight race days that since we talked last.
Yeah, racing's been strong. Leandro Gonsalves, from a jockey standpoint, he's approaching a career milestone, and you saw Martha Claussen bringing attention to it, and he's just been on a real tear as far as, especially Wednesdays and Thursdays. He's just had a real affinity to win multiple races on those days. Stuart Elliott coming back and teaming up with Steve Asmussen, and they've just continued to really dominate on a consistent basis. When they can win, they quietly win three races a day. And it seems hard to do that, and you look back at last weekend, they win another three, four, and nothing under 5-2, just not overwhelming favorites, really can catch them at some prices because I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if it's just kind of trying to get away from that pair and say, oh, I'm going to take a shot and look for something that's 15-1. But yeah, if you can connect with that barn at these 7-2, 5-2 kind of prices, that's value, I think, in some of these spots. So, that's been a big story. And, we had another, little hiccup that happened a couple weeks ago and got through that. And, we continue to do the best that we can and get, all these things explained to people and try to bring information as quickly as possible. And, abide by the rules, from the racing commission and things that happen. So it's been kind of a lot in the last couple of weeks, but we're ready to roll this week. And Texas Champions Day, this is kind of the date that we have circled on the calendar because of last season. So it'll be a real, real nice thing to just get through Saturday's program and do it well and do it nicely.
We'll touch on the champions card in a minute. Let's see if there's a couple of plays maybe to hand people for later this afternoon into the evening.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at race number 5, starts with Space City Pick 6, 50-cent minimum wager, no jackpot there, 12% takeout, as all the horizontal wagers are here at SHRP. That's a lot of bling. It's probably pretty interesting in a 15,000-mile race of 2 in race number 5. It's going to be 7-2 coming out of the 2 Altozano. She's entered in the stake on Saturday, so it's kind of interesting to see a horse, in for the 15,000, not worth the 2 tag, but then also potentially running on Texas Champions Day. So I think she fits in that spot against these fillies if she goes. We'll kind of just see if she runs in that race or if she's going to go after a $100,000 purse on Saturday. I would imagine you kind of go that route, but at 7-2, she's going to offer value at 6 furlongs. You've got a runner there for Maggie Moss, Tom Amos. They team up with Reason Why towards the inside. Wasn't quite sure what to make out of some of those Delta Downs efforts, but does come over here. And at 5-1, if that's a lot of bling is out of there in race number 5, I would probably go in that direction to maybe the 2, Reason Why. I think the rail draw, a little concerning maybe, but I think one that could factor in. We'll see if we stay on the John B. Connolly turf. It's raining right now. It's got to rain pretty hard, pretty consistently, for the next few hours for us to take a look at that turf situation. So we'll see once we head out there, but, race number 6, there's an MTO in there, the number 3, Lexi on the move. She'll be tough for Robertino Diodoro if that one does come off the grass. If it stays on, I gave 49 Model a shot towards the outside. This one's got a lot of speed. Speed has done well on the turf. Sophie Doyle, Scott Young, they've teamed up in here. And Scott Young has been kind of moving up the trainer ranks. He's now top 5, tied with Danny Fish with 11 wins. And another barn that's just had a real pretty strong meet, has found the wins when they could, has connected at prices. And that would be one to look for as well. In race number 8, I did give you some value there at 6-1. I thought Nomo Hooch, if it stays on the grass, has a big shot in there, had shown speed at the 25, non-winners of 2, now drops into 15, non-winners of 2, had gone 21-3 last time out. Nomo Hooch could definitely spring an upset in there because there's just, as you look through it, there's just not a lot of true speed. Khalid's got some speed down towards the inside, but hasn't turfed yet. So we'll see. If race number 8 stays on the grass, I think Nomo Hooch 6-1, I would be all over that. If it does come off, then Khalid will be pretty tough getting back on the dirt. So those are a couple plays that you kind of take a look at. St. Louis guy is going to be a heavy, heavy favorite there in race nine. That was one that ended up in a claiming event there with Milton Town. They were stable mates, and they were both in for the $15,000 tag. They both got claimed out of that race. They ran in the exacta, and Scott Young ended up winning the race. So from a condition standpoint, that was an interesting one because everybody went in on the claim. St. Louis guy is going to roll right back here with Carl Broberg. He's in for the 10 tag, which is, you know, interesting, being a 10,000, and he's going to go a mile. But he can handle that. He's had a string of seconds the last few times. So if you like to play against favorites like that, maybe this is your spot because he's 3-5 on the morning line. So he does seem to have a distinct advantage from a number standpoint, too, on this field. But if you like to play against favorites, comes off the claim, you know, changes barns, going to go the two turns, string of seconds. Maybe this is one that you do play against. But I'll pick this one as the most likely winner on top in race nine. But if you want to separate a little bit, not single, and try to get some value on that pick six and pick five, you know, Asmus and Scott Rocco's Wheel in there, that one can certainly win. G's Turn is in there, that one could win. So, you know, there's some value later in the card as well if you play against St. Louis guy.
Nice. It's a solid card. I don't know if it was Sam Sherman or Trey Stiles, somebody, one of the active Sam Houston opinion makers, said that they liked the card a lot today. So starts at 5:10 Eastern time, and the 10 race card until about 9:30. Eastern, and then into Thursday and Friday ahead of the big stakes card. And let me reach for that. Here we go. Stakes card starts in the fourth on Saturday night, and the Spirit of Texas going to go three quarters. These are the four-year-olds and up that start things off. And I see. Oh, that's good. The morning line is up already. At this point. And Asmussen, good judgment, an open company, pair of open company wins, actually, to start his four-year-old year. Looks like he might be imposing.
Yeah, he's 2-1 in the morning line, though. So, you know, he's no slam dunk from a morning line standpoint in there. You know, he's run extremely well the last two starts, as you said, back in here with Texas Spreads. He does come up against Gold Pilot again, though, and Gold Pilot has been able to have his number before. So, putting the blinkers on, Brett Calhoun, Ryan Eckelberry, who's now number two in the jockey standings, as he's just kind of another one that's quietly connected with several winners here and there, sprinkled them in, and now he's moved up in the jockey standings. But Gunnar Celestic Man is going to add a lot of speed to this race. He's the one horse that I think we tend to forget about. You know, he's got a running style where he just gets out there in front. He can take them a long way. A horse has a lot of speed. Ernesto Valdez Jimenez is going to send and really just see how far he can take them. Good Judgment's going to have to run from off the pace. Gold Pilot looks like he's going to have to run from off the pace as it starts pouring outside right now. Steve, just a little weather update because I know you guys love that. But Gunnar Celestic Man is going to offer value again. And I think he has potential to run a decent race. You know, the horse has not been under 15-1, and he hasn't been out of the trifecta in the last three races.
It's true.
That includes the turf race, you know, and finishing behind Direct Dial, four lengths and seven furlongs, but showing the way most of the way. You know, now he's going to be 9-2. Direct Dial is going to be, 3-5 in his spot. So, you know, he gets away from that horse, gets the cutback in distance a little bit. That's one to take a look at because he will be in front of Good Judgment and Gold Pilot. They're going to have to run him down, and we'll see if they can do just that. But, again, also not a ton of speed in the race. So Gunnar Celestic Man might be one to take a look at. And then, you know, as we continue on, you know, Star of Texas right next to that race in race number five, and you'll see Direct Dial. So if Gunnar Celestic Man wins that one, then Direct Dial moves up even more than he probably will. But, you know, he's 4-5. He's pick to win that fairly easily.
And Gold Pilot is cross-entered in the sprint and in the Star of Texas. And I don't know. I guess it sure feels like the sprint would be a better call for him.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, there's quite a few runners, actually, that end up cross-center, but you get a, what, six-horse field there in race number five versus an eight-horse field, you know, both at $100,000. If you feel like you're going to go the mile and go the two turns and you can, and you feel like Direct Down might be a little vulnerable, I don't know. After his last performance there, off the bench there in the H-Town, that was a pretty impressive race from Direct Dial. I mean, you're going to have to really run well to beat him. That six-year-old just did not show that he's losing a step or aging or anything like that. And he gets back in here with Texas Breds, and he's just won by open lengths when he gets in with State Breds. That's just kind of the way that he's been running, especially lately. So be tough to tackle him in that race. And so you do see a bit of a shorter field in there because he's going to be an overwhelming favorite in that one.
The Groovy for the three-year-old boys, and this is competitive. And I Bobby Brinkley on the outside for Frank Lucarelli, but the horse that kind of intrigues me, not a huge price at all, but Silence Doro for Dallas Keene. And Dallas has had a very nice meet with you know, select starters, 11 starters, three wins coming into the week with a placement and two thirds. So Keene is spotting them well. And this one broke through after a Remington debut as a two-year-old where he ran okay in Senior Buscador's maiden breaker, comes back as a three-year-old and wins first time out for the season, and they take the blinkers off, which is interesting in itself, that, you know, off of a win, he changes equipment, and 3-1 on Silence Doro, who may be kind of emergent in this spot.
Yeah, he could. This is a runner that you talk about, Trey Styles, and this is the one that he's a, slam dunk cinch, finished behind Senior Buscador, seen the running line. Maiden comes back strong and just it. I mean, that horse won so easily that day, got over to the rail, controlled things up front, and he's gone. Yeah, the blinkers off is an interesting kind of thing to take a look at. Also, kind of the runners that finish in behind, you know, Rush the Colors, Moro Jet Setter, they've been tackling the maiden rank. So I would be a little cautious there at a short price. I think Bobby Brinkley has faced some good horses, and I think getting back to sprinting is what Bobby Brinkley likes to do. You take a look at how he's run in those sprint races. He's just been right there. He's tried a couple different things with the two-turn races. Thought he really came back pretty decently in the last start because Drive Happy was not going to get beat that night. Drive Happy was just as impressive as you could be going the two turns there in that optional 62. Bobby Brinkley gets that race under him. Now he gets to cut back in distance, seemingly doing what he likes to do, which is sprint. Bobby Brinkley would be my top choice in there. I think I would probably be playing against the seven. I think Dallas Keene, as you said, has been spotting him well. I think I would just question maybe the strength of that maiden race a little bit. At 3-1, too, a little short for me in that spot. But we'll see. I'll probably get a text from you that has a couple of emojis.
I love it.
Wrong again.
No, I don't. That's not. Don't be like that. The Richard King Turf drew a nice field of nine, and good old Mujab Jr. shows up in here off the turf win, prepping and redditory for Alan Dupuy, and there's Sunlit Song, of course, for Mindy Willis. Stidham has got Singapore Flash. I mean, this is a very nice quality field going a mile and an eighth out of the chute.
Yeah, Sunlit Song, I think, is going to get the time just right. You know, I think that he had taken the lead. It's interesting, at a mile and 16th, he hadn't won at a mile and 16th. That just seems to be a distance that he just doesn't win at. And so now he gets the mile and eighth, and this is a distance that he has won at, one win, one second. I think Lindy Wade is going to time this one up pretty well. Mujab Jr. really came rolling late. I guess the assumption would be you could kind of think of the same type of trip. He's just going to sit at the back. He's going to show that late closing kick, and then he's going to, run by the field through the lane. Could that happen? Yeah, but I think Sunlit Song is the better bet in here from a consistency standpoint. You've seen him do it more, and you've seen him win at this distance too, whereas Mujab Jr. has not won at this distance. But has been better or a little bit better at the mile of 16. So I would go more the Sunless Song route. You know, I said that I was just going to give Redditori one more chance. He just hasn't quite shown the same punch for me lately. Just off the bench, he's still an unbelievable Texas spread that we should celebrate. And at 6 years old, you know, he's trying to stay competitive, but it just looks like a couple of these are just a notch above right now. So I would go Sunless Song. I know it's chalky at 6-5, but I think Lindy does time things up perfectly in here and gets to the winner's circle and kind of also keeps an eye on Mujab Jr. because Mujab Jr. was able to save ground the entire time last time out. He's got an outside post here. He's going to have to work out a little bit of a trip coming out of that chute. So that's where I will go. I'll go with Sunless Song as my top choice there. But a competitive race. It's nice to see those veterans, especially getting a chance to go this mile and an eighth, which we don't run that often here at SHRP. So that'll be a fun one.
Looking ahead to the Barrelass, these are the three-year-old fillies going three quarters and mostly distorted for Mr. Scarbauer and Brett Calhoun. Karen Jax has got Happy Sailor back, and those two were barely able to be separated in an allowance ahead of this. Wink Texas is okay in here. Jason Moe and a Too Much Bling filly that is maybe not a necessarily a win or upset candidate, but feels like an exotic candidate.
Yeah, and this goes back to the point that I was just talking about, too, that, you know, that's a lot of bling. You see this one entered in this race as well. And so that one finished right behind Wing Texas. If you like, you know, Star of the North, there was no beating her in those Texas Stallion series. She just is a very, very nice three-year-old filly. So they get away from her. You've got some horses that, you know, Texas Red Bell, I'm just not thrilled with that rail draw again for her. She was down towards the inside, and she's fast. She's quick. But I think that there's going to be some company for her. Happy Sailor, that was a really impressive performance last time in that allowance event. I would wonder, I think the Star of the North race is going to come back stronger. So I like your pick of Wing Texas, but if that's a lot of bling goes in the same race, I would make sure both of them were on the ticket because you could kind of make an argument that that's a lot of bling might have run a little bit of a stronger race than Wing Texas, and they were only, what, a neck apart. That's a lot of bling. Missed the start, had to kind of weave through traffic. I thought it was a little bit of a tougher trip. So I would look at both of them coming out of the Star of the North race, the two Altozano. I might give an edge more there than the allowance event that you saw with Happy Sailor, Texas Red Bell, mostly distorted. So it's kind of choosing which race you felt like was a little bit stronger. So I'll go in that direction with you. I kind of like those two. Wing Texas, that's a lot of bling.
One of the things that's very strange to have a and there's plenty of horses here that have, you know, that have run a handful of times. Not often that you would see a race at six furlongs. Only one horse in the field has won at the distance. And that's Austin Gustafson with That's a Lot of Bling. Everybody else, it's crazy. I it's so strange to see that. There's been a lot more 5.5 and 6.5 attempts from this field than three quarters.
Yeah, and you see, there also there's not a ton of races under their belts either. You know, there's some that just got a late start. You know, Texas Rub Bell's only got two lifetime starts. You got a couple maidens in here. So Happy Sailor looks to be going in the right direction, is going to be your favorite, deserving favorite, but more to the point as well is that part of those Texas Stallion series, those stakes, you know, these Texas breds were running against a horse that was by a Texas Stallion, but Star of the North is just a dominant, dominant filly that you got to kind of take a look at. Now, I will say the three starts back, That's a Lot of Bling got beat pretty handily by Texas Red Bell. So that was for trainer Danny Pish, first start off the bench at that 5.5 furlong distance that you say. So if you look at the strength of that race and that competition, you know, maybe that brings the field a little bit closer together. I don't know. It's an interesting point. This could be one of those weird long shot type races where somebody pops up and gets in there at a big price.
That's a, yeah, it's just a, that's a, it's a geographical oddity. 2 weeks from everywhere. The last two stakes, the San Jacinto and on the grass and, the Yellow Rose close out, champions, Texas Champions Night and, some thoughts about these two.
Climate Street Lady, it's interesting. She's favored in both races. She's cross-entered in the turf, and she's also cross-entered at the six furlongs on the dirt. I think the turf is probably going to be, based off of her last performance, I think she's stronger there. I think that there's quite a few horses that could run with her. You know, Miss Perfect is pretty interesting. Now that Steve Asmus and Stuart Elliott take over those duties there. I'm a discreet lady. She ran so well last time. I could see the same type of trip for her. And I think she's going to be a little tougher in there than she would in the Yellow Rose. Bernie is kind of the one that jumped off the page. You know, when I saw Bernie show up on the backside, you know, there was a lot of just me. I remember Bernie running at Gulfstream Park, and I remember the whole thing that Bernie is a city in Texas. And Trey Styles reminded me 8,000 times that it's pronounced Bernie. And wanted to make sure that I pronounced it correctly. So they take a lot of pride in that. And I know Pete, my buddy Pete out there at Gulfstream, you know, he had a whole thing about Bernie. But that 4-year-old filly is the biggest X factor on the card to me. I just think that her shipping in, she's run against some real strong competition. She draws the rail. Diodoro takes over. Ty Kennedy aboard. You know, she jumped off the page to me as the most interesting runner on the card, you know, because she's a Texas bred and she's now coming over here to Sam Houston Race Park. She's been able to work over the racetrack and she's been here. So I'm probably going to go in that direction. And that's why I was thinking that for me, from a handicapping standpoint, that I'm a discreet lady is going to look stronger in the turf. Even though she's 8-5 in both events. And a long shot chance, Sarta Bling. She likes sprinting on the dirt. I think going back to what she wants to do again, 5-year-old mare, tried the turf last time, didn't work out. They come back on dirt. 10-1, that's good value on a horse that seems to like this distance. We talked about that last race where nobody had won at 6-4. You know, she likes this distance. She's run it 3 times with 2 wins. So that's kind of how I see the card right now on a Wednesday show, but things can change a little bit. But just looking for good weather and good racing and really looking forward to a great weekend. So
no,
special first post time, too, a little earlier post time, so just keep that in mind.
Oh, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, too, and takes you all through into Saturday evening. So fairgrounds to get your day going and then move right into Sam Houston Race Park, SHRP, and Chris Griffin, I appreciate it. Best of luck tonight and through the week, and we'll be almost at the finish line next week.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will, Steve. Great to talk to you, as always.
I appreciate it. In the grandstand is Chris Griffin, and we've only got about 14 minutes. Papo is standing by, but let me pull up. Here we go. Here's the finish of the fifth at... since we haven't been able to catch anything at Cheltenham, here we go.
Fat Dodge jumps it much better than Kingswell Theatre and passes in by 2 lengths. Out Sam, maroon and white jacket is behind these. And then comes King's Temptation. Black Sleeves up on the outside. Easy's Land, Felix Dejard slowly but surely picking him off here. Be about 7th position as they jump this. Alfred is Oboe, Arctic Pearl and Some Neck of the next group of runners as they move across the centre of the racecourse again. Hogan's Height and LeBroy together. Vivas continues to be the back marker, probably 15, maybe 20 lengths behind the leaders, and it's always been a similar distance behind them. Coming over this next obstacle and all over it okay, running now on towards the 22nd, and as they do so, it's going to be Defi de Carry, leads to Tiger Roll, sauntering along on his heels. There's only a length off the lead of the 11-year-old. Then about a 3 or 4 length gap to King's Temptation. Easy's Land, green and yellow hoops. White Cap now moving into fourth position as they come down over the water jump. Alfred is over some neck and out sound with the next group of runners. LeBroy, Hogan's Height is behind those. And then comes Arctic Pearl, and pulling up here is Kingswell Theatre. He was in front early on, but number 8, Kingswell Theatre, has now been pulled up. So they come to 23, and it is Tiger Roll who's jumped through to the lead as King's Temptation makes an error towards the inside. He drops to about 5th position, but Tiger Roll has now gone into a good lead. The old man has gone through into a 7 or 8 length advantage. Easy's Land is moving through into second to give chase. Defi de Cary is next. The white horse, Some Neck, and then the blue cap of Alfred is Obo. LeBroy has been pulled up, so that's 9. LeBroy has been pulled up as they race away on out in their final circuit. And Tiger Roll bounding along in front. Defi de Cary, an error in second place. Easy's Land and Some Neck are now together in second and third positions. They run to 26. Alfred is Obo is behind these, as Tiger Roll is a good leader there to Easy's Land. And then Some Neck, Alfred is Obo. These are followed in by Defi de Cary, and they are going clear of the remainder, headed by Hogan's Height, and then comes King Temptation. 14, Vivas has been pulled up as they run now to the entry fence. Number 27 for the final time. Tiger Roll steadies into it, brushed through the top, got over it. His lead is now only about 2 or 3 lengths to the greenish colours of Easy's Land, the favourite in second, a neck behind him to Some Neck, running in third place as they enter the closing stages. And Tiger Roll quickens again, got on by 5. In fourth place, Alfred is Obey. Defi de Cary is behind those, so they run now back towards the racecourse proper for the final time. Outsam is still going way back in the field, so also is Hogan's Height, and they now run to the Glenfarclas Barracks, the 30th, for the final time. And Tiger Roll heads to the closing stages now with a 5-length advantage. Easy's Land in second position, Some Neck in third, Alfred is Obo in fourth. They run now towards the home turn. Keith Donahue on Tiger Roll looks round for dangers. He won't see very many. The old fella is coming towards the home turn in search of a 5th festival victory, and it's Tiger Roll clear now to Easy's Land in second position, Some Neck and Alfred is Obo behind those. Defi de Cary is way behind in fifth position, but this is Tiger Roll at the final fence, up and over safely. It's going to be a 3rd victory in the race for him, a 5th Cheltenham Festival success for Tiger Roll. He looks as good as ever, doesn't he? They race towards the line then. Keith Donahue and Tiger Roll have won the Glenfarclas Cross Country Chase. Easy's Land was in second position, Some Neck.
Oh, my God. Am I glad we grabbed that? Tiger Roll, who's a legend in his own right, and you know, not the same as he once was, but for him to win at Cheltenham once again, the 11-year-old, and another win for Denise Foster, and 5-1. This was one of the shorter prices, 4-5 on Easy Land, who, you know, seemingly was positioned to make his run, and it sort of loomed at one point. But what a clever ride and performance by 11-year-old Tiger Roll. This will be absolutely hailed and celebrated by the jump set worldwide. Tiger Roll with another win. Amazing. Papo Morales standing by. Papo, I wanted to take that because we've tried for 2 days to get some calls in on Cheltenham, and so the good way to close out the morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Steve. Yeah, and I was actually watching that race live, and Donahue just—he wasn't moving his hands at all. You could tell he was just super confident. It was like he was holding a cup of tea or something. He just got it done, went straight to the lead, and good for the old man horse, still getting it done at the top class level.
Amazing. Unbelievable. Well, getting it done over the weekend. A quick review, Papo, for those that, you know, you and I were kind of bouncing off some of the, you know, conversations, and of course, we had the success of going back to Oaklawn on Saturday. That, at least for me, in a lot of ways, you know, a big opportunity. You and I agreed on special reserve, and there was so many different parts that pointed to Special Reserve in that allowance win, and we got a price on.
Yeah, he was ranked number one before you put any filters in on Form to Win, and then when I did my filters, he was ranked number three. And I always pay attention to those horses, Steve, especially the ones that are prices. Those are the ones I want to try to get involved in. He kind of saved the day for me, a nice win bet, because I got kicked out of that cross country in the very next leg with that marathon race. But, Form to Win continues to produce solid results, and we're just really encouraged that now everybody gets two free races a day so they can test it out and on some of the live races.
Well, and I also wanted to fold in for those that didn't necessarily see it on the timeline, but the big upsetter at Laurel in the private terms, that Shackled Love, that was a spot where obviously May the Horse Be With You was, you know, an obvious deserving favorite, but you know, to get Shackled Love at 22-1, and Form to Win had that one right behind the favorite, so there was an opportunity whether you approached it exotic wise or if you Dutched win bets. And I got to mention Trident Hit and that sixth race at Oak Lawn. That was an inscrutable bunch, and ended up cashing nicely. You ended up with Ashar, the favorite, at 6-5, but 9-1 on Trident Hit and Impossible Task and Clayton the Lionheart. They were 1-2-3-4 collectively on Form to Win.
Yeah, Steve. I mean, when you're using the app and you're sorting by Form to Win time, I think it's key to keep an eye on some of those horses. I mean, they may not be ranked first, but if they're second or third, and you like playing the vertical wagers, they're worth using underneath, because they're Form to Win continues to find horses that sometimes I would overlook, and then just finding them using the app. But I fold them into my handicapping also.
Well, and of course, the way you play with it, you go to the settings, to the distance, and play around. If it's a 7-furlong race, you might want to do the settings 6.5 to 7, or 6.5 to to a mile, or 6 to 7. You look at go back and forth a few times. When there's a race that's 8.5, it's a mile and a 16th. I sort of settled in on 7 furlongs to 8.5 as my range. You'll get acclimated the more you move back and forth. And I do want you to explain to everybody, there's actually two things we should slip in. How about this morning, our friend Brian, who we really don't know, but he's downloaded and he discovered Hong Kong, and he had a pretty productive morning playing playing Happy Valley. So I brought that up a couple of weeks ago. You can go to Happy Valley and Shatin and take advantage. And if you're playing Australia, look at those. And Alex told me that the UK is not going to be far behind.
Yeah, I think Alex is working on acquiring some of the data for the UK. I know they don't have the traditional past performances that we have.
Right.
But once you log into the app, you'll see a tab that just says more. And if you click on that, you'll see subscriptions. And then switch it off of North America and onto Asia Pacific. And that will get you all the Australian form, Hong Kong form, and hopefully the UK form soon.
Well, let's also give everybody the instruction on reaching the two free races a day.
Yeah, so when you download the app, the first thing is just gonna ask you for very basic information. You put that in, and then you'll get the last 2 days' results that you can play around with the app and see if you would have landed on the winners, kind of test your own angles and form. But if you want to access the two free races, you've actually got to put in an email address and then put in whatever sort of password that you want. And then once you do that, once you capture that information, the app will automatically open up and you can pick two races, whichever races that you want. We have every track in North America, and you can open it up and you can look at live odds for those particular races and decide how you would want to bet those horses that you find on Form to Win.
Well, and the instruction is there for everybody on the homepage. And tomorrow, you'll go over tomorrow on the Twitch show?
Yes, I'll be on tomorrow at 4 o'clock, Steve, going over Twitch, and I'll go into, you know, some of the stuff that I normally try to cover, mainly introduction stuff. I'll cover some more in-depth stuff tomorrow. So I'm trying to keep people involved, you know, who are still new, familiar with the app, still trying to cover all the bases with them.
You got to play today by any chance?
I do. I was just looking at Gulfstream Park Race 5, starter allowance, 8.5 furlongs on the turf. Before I even put my filter in, the number one horse, Tusk, he's 8-1. He was ranked number one, and then when I adjusted my distances from 8 to 8.5 furlongs on the turf, he was still number one.
Hmm.
So he's an interesting angle. I mean, the favorite in that race is Midday Image, and he was ranked second without any filters. So I'm going to try to get Tusk involved, the one horse in race 5 at Gulfstream Park.
Very nice. There we go. So Tusk today, that race goes at 3:11. So you got 3 hours. And Papo tomorrow on Twitch, and then we'll talk to Papo. We'll handicap probably some of the New Orleans, some of the fairgrounds action on Friday. Thanks.
Sounds great, Steve. Look forward to talking to you.
Didn't get a chance to get to Seth. We'll get Seth on tomorrow. And I want to thank Papo and Chris Griffin, as well as Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Kev Humphreys, of course, got you set up for the rest of Cheltenham. Two more races yet today. Back with you tomorrow. Haskin, Rich Eng, and more. Talk to you then.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.